Welcome, advocates and care managers, to this, our third coronavirus COVID-19 related podcast, dealing with how we as professionals can step up during this time of crisis. I'm Tricia Torrey, the Executive Director and Founder of the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates, AHPA, and I'm pleased you join us to listen to these experts today. We hope you take away some useful information to employ during this time of pandemic. This podcast addresses marketing, outreach, the many ways we can work to help those who need us find us and engage with us. It joins two other podcasts, one that addresses care needs and delivery when we can't get out to meet our clients in person, and the other that addresses cost, money-related needs of patients and families. If needed, we will over time develop even more of these informational pandemic-related podcasts, and I invite you at any time to reach out if you have ideas of new topics you would like to hear. We're going to begin today's podcast about marketing with introduction. These advocates, who I consider to be marketing masters, both having successful practices by themselves by focusing on their marketing as needed, and who have joined us for this conversation about patient clients and how they respond to marketing. So we'll ask them to introduce themselves so you can begin to recognize their voices. We'll begin with Anne-Marie McElwain.
Hi, my name's Anne-Marie McElwain. I am the CEO of Patient Advocators, and we are located just outside New York City.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. And Nancy Ruffner.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy Ruffner. I'm a board-certified patient advocate and owner of Navigate NC. We're located in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thank you so much to the two of you. And I'm going to jump into this part of the conversation, too, because marketing is my thing, as many of you know, having spent almost 25 years myself as a marketer prior to my shift to patient empowerment and advocacy work, and having written a couple of books for advocates, too, about marketing. So hopefully I'll make a few contributions to the conversation. By the way, listeners, for Nancy and Anne-Marie, you can find links to their AdvoConnection directory profiles. Those links will be found on the same page where you found this podcast. I'm the one exception. You're not going to find me linked to from the directory because I'm not in the directory. I don't work one-on-one with clients. Now, this call is going to cover two different marketing points of view, both of which are valuable during this time. First, we're going to discuss the marketing things we need to do to address the crisis, COVID-19, and to make sure people can and will contact us for help during the crisis. And second, the marketing tasks we need to do to make sure that as the crisis wanes and beyond, we won't have lost our mojo because we've neglected it during the crisis. It's important we position ourselves for ongoing success even after the crisis is over. So let's start with our marketing during the crisis. Nancy, who's your usual target audience?
Navigate NC is usually contacted by elders, seniors, and their adult children. Many of the adult children live out of town, out of state. And we also serve a growing amount of aging solo seniors, elder orphans, or just solos.
People who are by themselves and don't have somebody to help them through crises. Is that how you would describe
exactly.
The solos? No matter
yes,
what age they are.
Yes, those who don't have traditional family to support them.
Excellent. Anne-Marie, how about you? Who are your usual target audiences?
So while we do service all geographies and all medical challenges and also billing disputes, I would say we're best known for our cancer advocacy and mental health advocacy.
And those are two hugely different groups of people that you speak to.
Correct. You know, it's unusual for someone to have cancer to not have mental health challenges layered over that.
Interesting. Very interesting. So the point that I wanted to make here for our listeners is that the two of you speak to two different kinds of folks, and yet many of the marketing kinds of things we need to do are going to be the same. You might just phrase them differently, use different tools, which we'll get into, because I want people to be thinking in terms of, if this is my target audience, the people I typically serve, what choices will I make in how I reach them? Where are they? Where are their eyeballs? Where are their ears? How are they going to hear about me? And so a lot of your marketing is driven by those questions. Anne-Marie, have you seen changes in your practice based on the current marketing you've done before the advent of COVID-19?
I have. The bottom line is my phone is not ringing with any frequency from either existing clients and in particular new clients.
And so you've seen just almost a stoppage.
Correct.
And I expect many of our listeners have also experienced much of a stoppage. And what do you chalk that up to? Do you have any reason why, you know, anything specific?
Sure. Well, I mean, I can see from looking at my Google Analytics that traffic to my site not only is not down, it's actually up. I typically do about 700 uniques per month, and for the month of March, I was up to, I think, 1,100 or 1,200. So the people are still learning about our business, but they are not calling, I think, because they recognize that, you know, they can't already, we can't get them in to see doctors, and we can't schedule surgeries or even, you know, go and accompany them to hospital settings, because we're, all of that's blocked off right now as we focus on COVID patients.
Yeah, we've all pretty much gotten that message that nobody's going to get care unless it's an emergency, and 99.9% of those emergencies are going to be COVID-19 emergencies. Very interesting, and I love, by the way, as you know, that you always have the data, you always have the analytics, and that's truly appreciated. Nancy, what changes have you seen over the last several weeks?
I've also seen less phone calls in terms of inquiry. I do see more traffic on our media as well. I think people are looking for information, so it's a great time for us to position ourselves. But they do understand that we can't operate our boots on the ground game the way we were. We can't get into hospitals. Sometimes we can't get into senior housing communities. But they still, they're clamoring for the connection. How do we do it now?
And we're going to talk about what that connection should be here in just a minute. One of the things that I want to mention here, and many of our listeners have heard this from me before, they've read it in one of my books, is motivators. You know, what does cause somebody to dial the phone or send you an email? And I have turned it into just one word. I call it fudge. It's fear, uncertainty, doubt, guilt, and exhaustion. And I believe right now that most of the world, Americans at least, and possibly the world, are all feeling fudge. Fear, certainly. Is it going to hit us or one of our loved ones? Uncertainty, uncertainty about what's coming in the future. We can't even know what to expect because we haven't been around for one of these things before. Doubt, doubt will be lots of times, what are we hearing in the news? Is that really true? You know, there were many questions really about whether this was a hoax, and we, many of us never believed it was a hoax. Some people did, and they're having to shift their thinking. So there's a lot of doubt out there. Guilt, I have to tell you that I have been so far unscathed by all of this. My days have not changed a lot, except socially, of course. And I'm feeling a little guilty about that because I know people are dealing with tragedies in their lives. A lot of people are dealing with tragedies, and I'm not. That's a guilt that I'm not sure many of us get to feel or have to feel in our lifetimes. And then exhaustion. We're exhausted with the crisis. We're exhausted hearing about the crisis. We're exhausted by our own experiences with the crisis. So fudge is entering in big ways, but I think it's almost freezing people at the moment, as opposed to having them reach out. There's always going to be that lag time between when they experience these things and then when they actually go in search of the peace of mind that they really need. So, Emery, what do you do when you know people are experiencing fudge and you do get them on the phone or you send them an email? Again, we're going to talk about tactics in a few minutes. But what is it you try to do to help them feel better about this?
What I attempt to do is to focus them on the things that they can control during this time when we feel like the world is spinning out of control. So, mm-hmm. you know, some of the things we discuss are pulling out their advance directive and making certain that it's accurate for this new environment where a ventilator might be life-saving and at a much younger age that they ever anticipated needing a ventilator. Second thing we talk about is their medical records and making certain that they're at the ready and that they're accurate. So, for instance, we have a pile, you know, for each member of my family assembled, and if EMS comes, they get handed a packet for that family member. We discuss nurturing your body and your mind so that you are maximizing your health and you're minimizing your stress, both of which will strengthen your immunity so that if you are affected, hopefully it has a lower impact to your body. Things like that.
I love that idea, recognizing that when people feel out of control, the thing that can alleviate some of that feeling is to give them places that they can control. I think that's huge. I thank you for that. Nancy, you kind of take more of a counseling approach, though, don't you? Tell us about some of the things you've been doing.
Well, I do. The tone of our conversations have changed to even at the point of inquiry, teleconsultation, and true intake. What used to be quick, cut and dried, and educational, a time for good education and exchange with a client has become much more heart heavy. Folks are responding to
heart heavy. I love that. Let's point that out. Heart heavy. I think that's a great description for how many of these go. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No problem. But folks need to hear. They need to hear the solution, but they need to have where they are acknowledged a lot more now. And it's a more difficult conversation sometimes in that we're having to lead people back to the conversation because when one feeling starts coming out, a lot of them do. I would say that, you know, typically my conversations both in inquiry and case launch used to be about, I call it a pie. We had a 6-piece pie, and I would go through the medical, the legal, the financial or caregiving pocketbook, their insurance, their housing, and their support. Now, previous to all of this, it would usually be a medical or legal, and certainly all 6 pieces of the pie are interconnected or they begat each other. but now the support is premium. I have got to figure out how tech savvy they are so that I can help them to get good information. And acknowledging that fudge, that's huge. It's huge. And it's a longer conversation today.
I love your pie. I picture it like a pie chart. So that yeah. When one of the sections gets bigger, that means another section has to get smaller. And it seems like, if I'm understanding you correctly, those support, those heart-heavy attention pieces of the pie are getting a whole lot bigger, and some of the others right now, at least for this moment, are getting smaller. Would that be accurate?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Or we're just moving into a bigger pie pan.
You might be right. It's probably 13 by 9 by 2 at this point, right? All right, so both of you, you're both supreme marketers. That's why you're on this call and helping other people. I would love to hear from you. You're pre-COVID-19 versus post or during COVID-19. And in a few minutes, we're going to start talking about the post-COVID-19 as well. But what are some of the tools you're using? What are the tools you're using to reach out? And have you changed how you're using those tools during this? And we're going to boil it down to 3 specific tools. I'm going to ask each of you to attend to each of them. So we're starting with phone calls and emails. That's something all of us can do, even working from home. Anne-Marie, talk to us about how you're using phone calls and emails. Who are you reaching and what are you saying?
So probably like all my fellow advocates, every Christmas, holiday season, I'm always wondering, geez, is this an opportunity for me to reach out to my clients? And some years I do and some I don't. And when I don't, it's because it feels self-serving. I decided COVID was an opportunity for me to have that conversation with my clients because I could share very timely, relevant information that could help them. So I immediately wrote and published a blog on March 17th, and I wrote every single one of my clients over the past 5+ years a personal message, and in that email it also contained the blog. And I had an ask. The ask was, if you are seeing things in your area that you think might help some of our clients, please let me know, because that could prove to be very valuable for somebody. And it, many of my clients have responded, and with gratitude and with specifics about things they are personally experiencing. So it's worked like I hoped.
You know what I love? What you framed. One of the things we know is that people want to help and they feel helpless to help. And what you did really was you framed it so that if they would respond to you, they would be helping others. I think that's phenomenal. What a great approach.
Thank you. Well, I mean, in sales, you always have to start with the person you're trying to get to do something.
Yes, you do.
Yep. So that's, you know, that my training has never left me, I guess is how I would put it.
Right, but this is a recognition. This isn't saying, you could have said you by saying, how are you feeling, what are you doing? But instead you framed it as, here's how you can help. And
right.
That's a different ask, and I think it was huge. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Nancy, how are you using, are you contacting current clients and previous clients as well?
Absolutely we are. It shouldn't go without saying, this is all about them. We are sending emails and making personal phone calls to all of them and reminding them that we're here. We sent a president's letter and a video that I recorded out to every current client. And we also used that president's letter and video and posted it on our social media to let folks know that we are still very much in operation.
We're going to talk about social media in a minute. But so in the phone calls, these were calls to action to access social media. Let's stick with the phone calls and emails for the moment to talk about what
yes.
can be done using them. Yes.
It's with clients. It's also with professional partners, the folks that I work among and with, examples of which would be attorneys, financial professionals, folks in home care and home health, my counterparts in case managers in other firms, and other professions need to know what's going on with them, and they need to know what's going on with us. Also, I'm working with my referral sources, especially. I'm doing things like making sure they know that we're in operation. I'm sending articles of interest to them to let them know that I'm thinking of them and I'm in their world. So if I see a legal article, I'm sending it to an attorney. If I see a home care article, I'm sending that. It's a touch and it's letting them know that we know. I'm inviting the participation in our events and our media events, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's like a
collaborative approach. It's a collaborative approach with other professionals.
You're exactly right. But, has been said, there's some sales to this, and we have to take care of our internal customers and our external customers.
I love that. Excellent. That is excellent. Now, you were the person who first touched on social media. Anne-Marie's done some of that, too, and we're going to get to her in a minute. But, Nancy, will you continue and tell us? Because you are doing a ton with your social media. And, boy, I give you a lot of credit for that. I don't take enough time in my day to do the social media. Talk to us about some of the things you're doing and that professional collaborative approach you're using.
Sure. First of all, I think this is the time to keep up the heat. This is not the time to wane. People need to know, and it's a tremendous opportunity for us to position ourselves as the experts among the eyes of inquiries, current clients, professional partners, and the all-important referral sources. What we've been doing is continuing our posting on Facebook. That's where, because I work with the senior population and their adult children, that's where they are hanging out. And we have a tremendous reach on that. And again, we're looking at analytics too and knowing how many people we're reaching and how many click-throughs we're getting to the articles we and resources that we may be posting. So they're there, and we're feeding them. Also, we're working in collaboration with some of the professional partners who are beginning to have Zoom calls and town halls in this municipality. And tomorrow I will initiate a call with two other professional partners, and we're going to have a panel, and it'll be on a Zoom call going out through a senior center from Zoom and then being streamed on a couple of town hall municipalities' websites. And if they can work it out in some of the senior communities that are nearby, and they can work it out so that their folks can view it with social distancing, they're going to broadcast it in the communities. So it's a good time.
Wow, that's terrific.
It's a great time to, and we're having to learn. I'm having to increase my technical skills to get this done. I'm just throwing myself in.
I love that. When you were describing it to me, I want to make sure everybody knows, this is such a Nancy-ism. Nancy described it to me as she was mixing and matching.
Yes.
Nancy, tell them about mixing and matching.
Well, if we do a Zoom call, we have a way to broadcast that. We have a way to promote it. I'm promoting the heck out of what's going on next, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And putting that all on our media and sharing it among the Facebook groups that I'm a member of. I would, whenever you get something that is a capturable event, if it's a live event or something you've captured, you've got something you can now post. You got postable, you got bragging rights. You have a way to get information out to these people. And so share it. Share it all the way, every way you can. And I think it's important,
And what are those ways? You mentioned Facebook before. Do you have other social media that you also posted to?
We do a lot on LinkedIn, more of the professional partners and collaboration. Within Facebook, I'm a member of lots of different groups, both business, small business networking, as well as senior groups, end-of-life care groups. So as applies, we deal it as applies.
Excellent. What else have you done on the web? Have you updated your AdvoConnection profile or done anything to your website?
I have both. I need to have stronger verbiage. The longer this thing goes on and the better sea legs that I get about what our response can be as an agency, I think it's important that we not only update the AFA directory, but any directory we're on. Also on our website have a pop-up whenever anybody signs on, they will see that letter from the president. And I'm going to change that out as things progress too, letting people know, that we are in motion right now and what we can do for them. And there will be links in that initial pop-up over to the media. Watch our Zoom call, watch our Facebook. It's all interconnected. And one thing we can do for each other as advocates, when we see another advocate in the media, we need to like it, share it, comment on it. Let's all increase our SEO.
Excellent. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
United Front.
Thank you. Yep, United Front. That's great. Anne-Marie, I know you're very active with all of your web presence and what you're doing with social media as well. Can you tell us about what you've been working on?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the first thing we did was get a blog out. So that was posted on our website and has since been featured on the homepage and added to my Advo profile page. But then we looked to merchandise it, if you will. And unlike Nancy, whose business is more local, ours is national. So I tend to play less on Facebook and also just, quite frankly, I don't love Facebook. So that has nothing to do with it, too.
Yeah.
I'm biased.
I hear you.
It, but, But I do see that it brings, you know, commercial upside. Anyway, so I did post it on Facebook and it did get some love there. But I'm more LinkedIn focused. And so the blog at this point is, we've had 790 views on LinkedIn. And I think partly why we have gotten good traction is that, like, I had already posted McElnay's post just before mine, and that did pretty well too. That got over 300 views just from my feed. So I think, you know, the idea here is for you to be seen as a thought leader, not someone who's just doing self-promotion. And I think what I have personally had to say with respect to COVID and being out front on potential treatments for the cytokine storm that can happen has helped build my cred, if you will, and had the kind of impact on social media dynamics that I was hoping for.
Excellent. So there are two things I've heard the two of you mention so far. One is the concept of thought leader. In a lot of ways, the work that we're doing now is sort of, it's either setting the stage for that or it's making the stage taller for that, depending on who you are and how much of a thought leader you were considered to begin with. But then the other thing is something Nancy said and Emery, both of you said, is that you support other advocates who are out there being thought leaders. And that is good for your reputations. It's good for where you show up in search engines. It's good for all of that. It's called authority. And authority is huge in marketing. Not everybody is comfortable with authority, and that's okay, but it doesn't mean you can't be promoting other people to help them with their authority. All right, the third tactic I want to talk about, the first one was phone calls and emails. The second one was your web and online and social media presence. The third one is PR, calling the press, being very proactive with your outreach to the press, because the press is always looking for stories. A 24/7 news cycle, they're looking for a new spin, they're looking for something different that hasn't been written about 100 times before. Most of those are going to be human interest stories. And Emery, you've got a story to tell about the way you actually satisfied that need and have been working on that need that also ultimately could have helped a patient survive. It didn't, sadly, but it could. Will you tell us more about that?
Sure. So I'm a regular reader of multiple publications, including the New York Times, and they ran a story last week, at the beginning of the week, about a young man, 25 years old, here in my state of New Jersey, who was in a medically induced coma due to COVID, and the family was frustrated that they couldn't access Gilead's drug, which is experimental for COVID, but nonetheless, you know, they'll take anything at the 11th hour. And in my blog, which I had written prior to that, I had identified a technology that is made by a company in New Jersey that is a purification system of blood that is approved in Europe and Asia and had shown success in both locations in the treatment of COVID in lieu of a ventilator. So I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to get this information to this family. And I'm pretty good at figuring out how to communicate with doctors, so I applied that here. I found the email address for the mom. I wrote her, figuring the mom probably wasn't checking her business email. I then wrote a colleague of hers, and the colleague responded right away and said, I just texted her. She's going to call you. And then wanting to leave anything to chance, I also reached out to the journalist at the New York Times with the same information. I did not hear anything, and I learned the next morning it was because the young man died that night. But in any event, I tried. I really wish I had succeeded.
Yeah.
But
what you also did at the same time, even if, I mean, it wasn't up to you to save this young man, but you took the initiative to try to make it happen, try to make a connection. But what it also did was helped people see your heart. It helped people see the ends you were willing to go to help somebody out, you influenced a lot of people who you otherwise wouldn't have influenced. Nobody would have known who you were, what you could do, etc. So I think that will come back to grace you at some time in your life. It should, because there aren't a lot of people who would have gone to that length, and I appreciate that you did. What I want our listeners to take away from it is not what a good human being you are, because they already know that, and I know that very well. But what I want them to take away is how proactive you were. It wasn't just a question of calling the press and saying, hey, I can help you with quotes, or if you're looking for a reaction, I'd be able to help you. Those are important steps. But what you did was you actually took action on a local story. And they can do that too. If they are reading something locally and they feel like they can put or they're reading a national story and they can put a local spin on it. I mean, locally here, I live near Orlando, Florida. We just had a story about a woman who can't get her drug prescription because she has lupus, and the drug that she takes for her lupus is now being used for COVID-19 patients. That's a story that all of you could be calling your local and just giving them a quote. Even if you can't solve it, you can help people make the right phone calls, for instance. Nancy, you have stories about the press, local press as well. Will you share those?
Sure. I was delighted when this all began to be contacted by a local television station who was wanted my comments and stories on loneliness and isolation, and how abruptly it became such a major issue for folks with compromised health situations or elderly that whose traditional ways of communicating and moving around were now thwarted. So a television clip was great. It's what we did with it that mattered. We shared it out. And a lot of people, we got great feedback that they had seen this piece, but we shared it on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and asked our professionals to share it out as well. And we as advocates can share that kind of thing out. Because it gave the clients, you know, the content of the piece gave the clients information. It normalized what they were going through. It acknowledged all the fudge, because that one was about loneliness and isolation. And it gave excellent positioning to us. On top of that,
exactly.
We got a product from it. You know, we got a shareable, a keepable.
Let's also acknowledge that the reason you got that phone call to begin with, to be the person they interviewed for that story, was because you are somebody who grooms the press on a regular basis. You're somebody who lets them know when you've got a story to share. You're someone who has reached out and made yourself known. So you're already in their, for lack of a better term, Rolodex, and they know to call you. And that's why they called you to begin with. And so for a lot of our listeners who've never done that before, this is a great time for them to be doing that. Because the press is crying for new people to interview. They're crying for new spins to stories and new directions to take them. I hate using the word spin because that sounds negative, and I don't mean it in that way. I just mean they're looking, they want to keep people reading their stuff or listening to their stuff, and they can't do it if people are bored with their stuff. And they're looking to people, advocates, to help them allay that boredom. And so, Nancy, let's make sure that people understand. And one of the things, Emery, you better than almost anybody I know, you and a few other people, you want to talk to us about, you see referrals on the discussion forum, the AFA discussion forum, right? Talk to us about how you do those.
So I will confess that if I can, I read the daily update of the forum at 3:01. It comes out at 3 o'clock.
Yep. Eastern time.
Eastern time, right. And one of the reasons I do that is because there are often media postings, and I act pretty swiftly. So, for instance, the last two that have posted, the first was from LegalZoom, and the most recent one was from a journalist whose name is Mary Jacobs, and she is ultimately doing a story on for the senior population. In any event, I wrote them both. I've been interviewed by both. And in the case of the story that Mary Jacobs is doing, for which I was interviewed yesterday, she wanted, you know, building on what Tricia is saying, she wanted to provide human interest by interviewing someone who was germane to her story. Her story was about advocating in a hospital setting. And so I put her together with one of my clients for whom I have done that And they're actually speaking right now as we are recording this. So there we go.
That's great. That's great. And the key here is that you have kept your eyes open and your ears open for stories with clients, people you've worked with, who are willing to talk to the press. And that's one of those homework kinds of things you need to do. Just in your relationship with them, just say, you know what, if somebody wanted to talk to you this about this, would you be willing? And you're going to know who those folks are. So you can either be responsive with those stories or, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, you can be proactive. And we
right.
do. AFA, we get requests, and they're hot and cold. Right now things are kind of quiet, but a week ago we got two in one day. So we get requests from journalists and people who are listed in the directory.
Right.
Can get those that feed. You have to be listed in our directory in order to get that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shift. We've talked about those three tactics. We've talked about the point of view. We've talked about being proactive. We've talked about making sure that you roll all the information out and share it widely. Now let's talk about, as the crisis wanes, we not only need to be marketing in this world of COVID-19 and pandemic and everybody being home, but we also have to make sure we're going to keep our practices as healthy as we can and that we're going to be in business on the other side of this. And the reason we need to do that is, number one, because we want to keep our businesses, but number two, because I just have a feeling, and in the conversation the three of us had prior to starting the recording on this, we all agreed that once the pandemic itself starts to lighten up, all of a sudden, everything's going to kick in. Everybody's going to realize, okay, now it's time for me to get back in to see the doctor to take care of this. Or I have to make those appointments again. Oh, my gosh, now I can't even get through to the doctor's office. Or I'm getting bills that I never thought I was going to get, or they're so much bigger than I thought, or they're mixed up. I didn't think I was going to be charged a copay. All of a sudden, people are going to wake up from this quiet period of time and realize the horrendous problems that have cropped up for them in this period of time. And we have to market now to make sure they find us then. So, Emery, tell us some of the things you're doing to make sure you're positioned for that time.
Let's be clear. I want to be one of the last people standing. I'm in this to, for the very long term, and mm-hmm. I view this as an opportunity to strengthen my wheelhouse when the
Could you repeat that? You view this crisis as an opportunity, and I love that point of view and that approach. So if you will, talk to us a little more about why you see this as an opportunity.
Well, I see two things. First of all, if you have a busy practice, you probably are neglecting the marketing side of things. Even me, who's trained as a marketer, doesn't, always devote enough time. So now we have the luxury of time, so now's the time to, take a hard look at your website and see, is that really what I want as my front-facing piece of advertising? Or are there ways to, fine-tune it, update it, improve the look and feel, whatever it is. But this is the ideal time to do that, as well as with your marketing leave-behinds, your social media presence. If you haven't played there before, maybe it's time to create your profiles in those locations. So I think improving our marketing tools is kind of job opportunity one right now. I think the second thing to do is, we're in the knowledge business is the way I see it. So increasing what you know that you can then use with future clients down the road is a very good use of time right now. So doing CEs and, in my case, since we spend a lot of time helping people find their way to cutting edge cancer treatments, there's no amount of time I can spend mining, learning in that arena. Whatever it is that you bring to the table as an advocate to your clients, now's the time or opportunity to bone up on that. And then I think the third thing is to leverage what you can do for others now that is constructive, meaning, and I'll give you an example. I have a client at the moment who is inpatient at a rehab facility clear across the country from where she normally lives. I have been using this opportunity to do calls with people I have met on our journey to get her in that facility, who are in administration and who, you know, are just full of knowledge and resources to help my clients with mental health challenges. And I've gotten their attention in part by sharing my blog, which they have then shared with their constituents. But even something as unrelated as the following has brought me some nice goodwill. I shared the SBA link to how small business people, independent practitioners, can qualify for real money during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared it with the entire treatment team for my client, and I cannot tell you how grateful they were. The context in which I shared it was, many of your clients are probably really worried about money. They were worried about it before, and they're even more so now. Some of them may qualify for these loans, which will help them land well when they finish the treatment program and go back home.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think that's huge, because that really, that's not COVID-19, but it is COVID-19. It's a result of COVID-19. So, again, it positions you not just as somebody who is generous and shared, but also as someone who's keeping your eye on the pulse, and they can rely on you for that kind of information. They can rely on you for something like that. Oh, my gosh, how well they could rely on you for some of these bigger picture things, too. That's great. Nancy, how about you? How do you see this going forward and what you want to do and accomplish for the other side of this pandemic?
Well, I'm liking what I'm hearing. There's a lot of sync on this particular call. This is a huge opportunity. Now's the time to increase what we know, as Anne-Marie said. I'm spending a lot of time reading about what's going on, but I'm also reading speculations from the thought leaders as how is this going to play out. I see an article or two about how we begin to come out of this, and I'm taking notes about it and thinking about that, and those will be posts and blogs later on. I do think that as this goes on, we need to change our media a little bit, the conversation, wherever you're having it, face-to-face or online. I think that there's going to be some fatigue with the terms coronavirus, and COVID is going to be a dirty word. We need to...
Yes, I think you're right.
You know, our eyes are going to roll, and so I think we need to transition back to what's the problem about? What are our folks encountering, and use emotions, as we always have, to grab folks' attention. You know, and when we're writing or speaking, you know, talk about what are the client's concerns, what's their fear, what's their fudge, what are the problems that they're encountering right now. And if we're writing anything or trying to figure out a subject line or a headline for a blog, do it with what they're encountering. Are you questioning your bills from medical care? Well, it might have been from COVID, but are you questioning your bills? What is your fear? And so, again, we have tremendous opportunity here to all of us to position ourselves. Because like Tricia just said, if they know us now and they continue to know us through this, they're going to know us as we're coming out the other side. We are the thought leaders.
Right. Yep, you are. You are the thought leaders. This has been a phenomenal discussion. I thank you both so much. And one of the things I want to share with listeners, again, we did a lot of preparation before we actually started recording this podcast for everyone. And one of the things the two of you said to me, which I thought so perfectly summed this up, is these are learning opportunities for us too. Anne-Marie learned from Nancy today. Nancy learned from Anne-Marie today. I've learned from both of you. And we're the experts, and yet we still continue to learn. And I think that's how all of us need to approach this. As you do your marketing, you are going to learn. Look at that as another opportunity, especially during this quieter time. If you're not hearing from a lot of people, then take advantage of that to make sure that once you do start hearing from them, you are poised to actually help them the way they need to be helped. That concludes this podcast. It's just one of a series created to support advocates and care managers during this time. Please be sure you bookmark the page with the link to this podcast and the resources we're going to provide you with, too. And we will continue to add more podcasts and information as the need warrants. Anne-Marie and Nancy, thank you so much for your time today. You have helped so many of us. You've even helped me. And I am sure that there have been some fires lit under these folks to get them moving on it as well. I just can't thank you enough. I'm Tricia Torrey, the Executive Director and Founder of the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates. I thank you for listening, and I invite you to watch for more podcasts. We all have a role to play in helping people weather this crisis and to weather our own crises as well with our businesses, and we hope that we've provided you today with some ideas and approaches to doing your part.